Welcome to That's My Personal Business, where we are pulling back the curtain on all things personal, all things business, and all things in between. Every Monday, we're hopping into your headphones to help you skip the learning curve by hearing from industry professionals, including myself. I am a destination wedding photographer turned business coach who now gets to lead hundreds of creative entrepreneurs in building lives of artistic growth, wealth, and freedom. And now it's time for you to do the same. Hello, hello, you guys, and welcome back to another episode of That's My Personal Business. It is our last, I think it's our last day of Money March. I am not clear on the calendar, I'm realizing now in this moment. So it might be the last, might have one more. Who's to say? It's been a crazy busy week with the last artificial light workshop, which was so much fun. I'm usually exhausted after workshops, and this was like one where I felt like I had more energy after because everyone was so sweet and so kind. Like, it was just the kindest group of people. So it was, I don't know, it was so lovely. My heart is so full from these two artificial light workshops. Like, I'm so happy we got to do them. It was the best feeling in the world. And now I get to chill a little. I'm heading upstate this weekend to relax, which I'm really, really excited about. And that's kind of all the updates, other than the fact that I have absolutely fallen off the wagon of my working out, and I'm letting you know that I'm starting again on Monday when you're listening to this, and that is how I'm going to keep myself accountable, is by knowing that hundreds of people know that I've committed to this, and I expect you to hold me accountable, kind of. You don't actually have to, but in my head, this is going to help. So that's kind of everything. We're like wrapping up Money March. Money March has been amazing. We have opened up one-on-one coaching again, which I'm so excited about. Both VIP days and 1 to 2 spots of Becoming, our 9 to 12 month coaching program. So if you have been thinking about investing in one-on-one coaching, you're looking to really accelerate your business, really propel it into the future, really propel it towards your goals, this one-on-one coaching is for you. We only take on like a few limited spots per month or year. So this is going to be for, we're skipping April. This is for May. So yeah, we'll link that for you in the show notes, both Becoming and VIP days, and come fill out an application and we can chat about if we're a good fit and we can talk about all of the things, which I'm so excited about. So anyway, I'm not going to be rambling here for long because I want to get to this episode. It is so amazing with Clobear, and I'm literally just giddy that you guys get to listen and learn from her. I had such an amazing conversation with her. I had so much fun chatting with her. So I'm excited for you to learn from her beautiful mind. I'm going to stop blabbing now. Let's get to it. And yeah, here we go. Hello, hello, you guys. Welcome back to the podcast and welcome Chloe Daniels. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. It's so nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you as well. I'm like so excited to pick your brain on everything.
Yes.
No, truly. I'm like, I'm so stoked. For those that don't know you yet, though, could you give us a little introduction on yourself?
Yeah. So I'm better known as Clobear Money Coach on the internet. I am focused on spreading financial education. I am a certified financial educator, as well as a certified financial literacy professional, a ridiculously long name. But I really focus on taking these things that so many people feel a ton of overwhelm or shame or confusion or think like, I can't do that. And I try to break it down for, you know, the person I was a couple of years ago who was going through the same things and trying to figure out like, wait, I'm supposed to be investing. What is that? Like, how do I even do it? Isn't it just like the dudes on Wall Street doing it? I'm not smart enough. So that's really my mission, is to help people understand the stuff that we all really need to understand and all need to do, but in a way that's not scary and not overwhelming. And that's why a lot of my videos contain really bad dance moves, because I am not a very good dancer, but I enjoy dancing anyway. And so I feel like I'm known for my bad dance moves while spreading financial literacy awareness.
I love that. What a thing to be known for.
I know. And it's something that it just happened. I remember when I started TikTok way back in 2021, I just noticed that everybody on the app was dancing. And I was like, well, I can't dance. Like, I do dance. Like, I dance poorly, but like, I'm just going to show up as myself and like add some financial literacy, add some education here and like see what happens. And like people loved it. It took off because it's like, I'm literally the last person you think of when you think of somebody who is like a finance educator, especially because my main focus is teaching people how to invest. Like, most people are not thinking about like a woman who's covered in tattoos, dancing her butt off, spreading like how to invest in your Roth IRA, you know? So
Yes.
I think that helps open up people to this idea that like, oh, maybe I could do this. Like maybe I actually could learn how to do all of this stuff.
Absolutely. So the one thing that caught my, well, lots of things caught my attention, but one of the things that caught my attention was you saying who you were a couple years ago. Cause this journey's like newer for you, right? Like you're newer. Talk to us about like how you got started, what you looked like a couple years ago, all that good stuff.
So, I mean, as early as 2019, I was still very much figuring out my finances. And in 2019, so 2018 was the moment that I had like this come to Jesus moment where it was like, oh crap. Like, yes, I've worked on the mental health side of things. I've worked on improving my relationship with myself, but I can't ignore the fact that my finances and being out of control with my finances is causing a huge amount of stress and making me feel trapped in the positions that I was in. It was, you know, making me stay in bad relationships and things along those lines. And I just had this moment where it was like, okay, dumber people than you have figured out the finance side of things before. So like, let's do this. Let's just do this. And that's a huge mantra of mine is just like dumber people than you have figured it out before. And it's something that gives me the courage to just do things. And so in late 2018, early 2019, that's when I was like, you know what, let's start budgeting. Let's figure this out. And I started sharing it all on my blog at the time, which is clobear.com. Just kind of like sharing my learning process, whereas like I would share everything I spent my money on and I would critique it and talk about the things that I learned, talk about my net worth updates, just kind of hold myself accountable to the like 12 people that were reading my blog at the time. And it wasn't until 2020 where it was like, okay, I had a whole year and a half of budgeting under my belt. I had learned a ton because I was obsessed with personal finance at that point. So then I started taking on here and there a couple of like one-on-one coaching clients. And it was 2021 when I was like, all right, I've been doing this for a little while now. I'm seeing a lot of like success in terms of helping people. And I'm also seeing a ton of success in my own personal finances. What if I took this seriously? What if I like started treating what I'm doing in the coaching space as a business? And I started treating my Instagram as a business and TikTok and things like that. And so that was in 2021 where I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try. I'm just going to see what happens if I give this my all because I love doing this. I feel like I was born to do what I'm doing. And I was like, let's just give it my all for a year. And if I'm in the same place in a year, you know, I can decide if I want to keep doing this because it's a lot of work running a side hustle and working full time.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's a ton of work. That's why I always tell people, like, not to get on a huge side tangent, but I always tell people, for most of us, the lowest hanging fruit when it comes to increasing our income is not necessarily the side hustle. Like the side hustle at the end of the day is a second job. And like, unless you want to take your side hustle or have an inkling that you might want to be a business owner and you might want to do that full time someday, a side hustle is not a sustainable way to continually inject more money into your life. Like it is a way to burn out and be miserable. And so I'm a huge advocate of like take the lowest hanging fruit, which is for most of us is our 9-to-5 jobs. How do we make more money at our 9-to-5 jobs? So anyway, that's a totally other side tangent. I made that decision in January 2021 that I was going to take Chloe Bear Money Coach seriously. I wasn't even Chloe Bear Money Coach at the time. I was like Chloe underscore Bear. I looked like a personal account and everything. I think I had like 2,000 followers at the time. And I started the TikTok account and I was like, let's just do it. And then by October, I quit my job to do it full time. It it took off in that, you know, 10 months. And here I am a year, or God, not a year. Tells you where my brain's at. It's Monday morning when we're recording this, guys. What is it? It's 2024 now. So 3 years later and I've got a seven-figure business, which is just crazy.
Amazing. So, oh my God, I like can't decide which route I want to go down.
Which
like
question?
I'm like so much information, so many directions we could pull. Like I'm like, I want a step-by-step guide on how you got from like in debt to seven figures. I want to talk about, let's start there.
Oh, I don't debt, have, right? Yes, I have a seven figure business. I am not a seven figure net worth individual. I wish I was. But yes, when I started this journey back in late 2018, it was October 2018 when I finally like took a moment to total up all my debt. I had about $70,000 of debt, which was about what I made at the time. And I remember totaling that up and being like, oh shit, like what do I do? And that what became my like primary focus for the next year was paying off my debt, which having now gone through it, now I'm a huge advocate of like, if you have low interest debt, that's not the priority most of the time. Most of the time you should be investing, you should be getting your emergency fund up and things like that. But again, that could be a whole other tangent. That is when I essentially created my plan of like, I'm going to be debt free by the time I'm 33. I was 27 at the time. So I was trying to make like that. That was like the attainable goal, but my real goal was to be debt free by 30. So I started educating myself. I started budgeting. I started really focusing on increasing my income as much as possible. And as I continued to learn about personal finance, I started to realize like, wait a second, everyone's talking about this investing thing. And I have been too afraid to invest. I've been too scared to invest because I had all these false beliefs of like, I'm not smart enough. It's incredibly risky. I can't do it. I need to hire somebody to do it for me. But after having spent so much time educating me on personal finance and investing and wealth building, by late 2019, early 2020, I was like, Chloe, you cannot ignore the fact that everything is pointing to you paying off your low interest debt slowly and instead investing money. Like you're still in your 20s. Like the amount of time that you have to grow these investments is such a long time that you'd be crazy not to start investing. So 2020 is when I switched my approach and was like, okay, I'm not going to focus on debt freedom anymore. I'm going to focus on wealth building. And it started with increasing my 401k contributions. Like I like amped that up significantly. And while I was doing that, I was also like, okay, no more of this $1,000 emergency fund. Credit cards are not emergency funds. I started saving my emergency fund as well. So that's where I started kind of switching my approach to focusing on wealth building, not just debt freedom. And that's really when my net worth started to take off. So now, depending on what the market's doing on any given day, I went from a negative $70,000 net worth to a positive $300,000 net worth in about four or five years.
Okay. Talk us through that. Cause that is a crazy turnaround. So like, and like my first instinct, and I'm sure everyone's listening, is like, oh, I can't do that. Like just like a quick.
If you had told me that you had told me that in 2019, I probably would have said I couldn't do it either. I mean, the huge part is like the reason I say that I focused on increasing my income is because I couldn't have done it if I was making $50,000 a year. Like that wouldn't have been possible. So that's a huge, like, I feel like that's step one is like, you've got to be focusing on increasing your income. That's something that we have control over to an extent. I know a lot of people, it's like, we have these mental blocks where like, I don't have control over my income or, you know, depending on what situation you're in. I think a lot of us have some mental blocks. But while you're also focusing on increasing your income, you have to be focusing on managing your money. So it's like, it's so easy prior to me starting this journey, I had focused so much on, I had still been focusing on increasing my income, but then I fell into the trap of, oh, well, when I make this amount of money, that's when I'll have an emergency fund. When I make this amount of money, that's when I'll start investing. When I make this. But of course that never happens. Like if you don't put systems in place when you're making $50,000 a year, you're not suddenly going to be good with money or have systems in place when you're making $200,000 a year. Like you have to set up those systems when you're not making a lot to then know that by the time you're making $100,000, $200,000, whatever it is, you know what to do with that money. And so that's a huge part of it is like, yes, we want to be focusing on increasing our income, but we also need to know how to manage our income. So that was a big part of it for me is like in those first 2 years of my money journey, I figured out like a budgeting system that worked for me. And that is how I was able to free up like $2,000 a month to dedicate towards my debt, to dedicate then eventually towards my emergency fund and investing and things like that. So those two things have to happen is at the same time. And then in terms of like what else I did, I mean, kind of what I was already talking about is I was focusing on paying off that debt. And then I switched into that investing mindset and like my net worth, once I started focusing on investing and putting things into my 401k, my Roth IRA, my HSA, that's when my net worth was really starting to build. But by that time, so when I started this journey, I was making like $70,000 a year. And then I quickly got a promotion and I started making $90,000 a year. And then by the time that I quit my job in October 2021, just at my 9 to 5, I was making $130,000 a year. So I increased my income by 60 grand in from 2018 to 2021. So that was huge. But then I also was doing the side hustle. I was doing Klober Money Coach. And so everything that came in from Klober Money Coach, because I had focused on, I had a crazy focus, and like sometimes we have to go like to one extreme in order to like find the balance. I had gone from like spending everything that I make to my goal became I want to live off of half of my income so that I can save or invest the other half of my income. And having that goal really helped me identify areas that I wanted to cut back on. Now, I could only do that for like 2 years. It wasn't something that's like a long-term sustainable, but it helped me overcorrect and get to a point where it's like, okay, now I have like a happy balance.
So I want to rewind to where you were talking about like having systems in place so that you know how to manage your money, whether you're earning, 50K, 130K, 230K, whatever that is. When you say systems, what do you mean exactly? Like, where does one get started with that?
Sure. So for me, a system is a money management system, like a budget. Like that's like ground zero, right? Is you've got to have some type of budget. And everybody hears the word budget and they're like, oh, I don't need it. That's not going to actually help. But in the hundreds and hundreds of people, if not thousands at this point, of people that I have coached on money management systems, it's the number one thing we do is we look at their spending. And like, I cannot tell you how many times I've gone through someone's spending with them. And like, beforehand, I'll ask, like, what are the things that you think you don't value? Where you're like, if I could cut back spending on this, I would cut back spending on this. I once had a client who was like, oh, I really don't value eating out. And I was like, okay, cool. That's great. Cause so that, that's a lot of people's like huge expense. A lot
Oh,
of people spend
that's
it,
my number one expense.
right? That's a huge expense for most people. And, I was like, okay, great. Like, I'm curious where your money's going then. And we went through her spending, and she was spending $1,200 a month on eating out. And I was like, she was certain that that was going to be almost nothing every month. But it was like, yeah, it was a huge wake up call. But it was also kind of a good thing because she realized, holy crap, I have $1,200 a month I could be dedicating to something that actually I do value, that is important to me. So that's the first thing is like really understanding your spending and understanding your income and implementing a budget. So with a lot of my students, when I was doing one-on-one coaching, we would literally go through the last 30 days of their spending and organize it so that we could see, like, here's where your money is actually going. And most of the time, people are shocked. Like they're shocked to see certain categories and shocked to see, especially when you get really specific. I'm a huge believer in if there's something that you want to control, you've got to track it. Like maybe that just means you're only tracking your eating out budget or you're only tracking out your clothing budget or something along those lines. But like if there's something you want to control, you've got to track it, at least for a little while. It doesn't have to be forever. But a budget doesn't have to be what you think of a budget of. It doesn't have to be a zero-based budget. I prefer the zero-based budget. I prefer a values-based zero-based budget. But there's tons of different options out there. You could do an anti-budget. You could do a reconciliation at the end of the month, but you need to find something that works for you. So again, I recommend starting with a zero-based budget. We have tons of free resources on how to do the zero-based budget. You can grab our free guide that has literally a step-by-step approach on how to start a zero-based budget at moneyrightguide.com. But that's the first thing is ground zero. And like, here's the thing too. You're gonna fuck it up. You're gonna go over budget. You're gonna like figure out things that work and don't work. Like it took me 8 months until I had an accurate budget, but I was still doing better every single month during that 8 month period. And that's, I think it's so easy for so many of us to fall into that black and white thinking of like, I fucked up my budget, so I guess I'll just try again next month. And then you proceed to spend like crazy because like it's just like a like people who diet or something like that. It's like they're like, oh, I ate a donut, so I guess I'll just say fuck it and I'll start again on Monday. And then you proceed to go crazy. It's like that binge and restrict cycle. It's the same thing with budget. You've got to be able to be flexible and understand that your budget is a living thing. It's like something that's going to change with your life, and that's okay. So that's kind of like ground zero. We got to get a budget in place, and there's lots of ways to do that. And then from there, it really just depends on someone's individual finances. So, like, if you're looking at, like, ooh, I've also got this debt that is like unmanageable, I have to figure out how to prioritize that. If you're paying off debt or you have any financial goals, really, like, let's say your goal is to build an emergency fund or to invest 10 grand this year or whatever it is. you've got to work that into the budget, because so often people do the opposite of what you should do. They spend, they get their income, they spend, and then what's left over they use for their financial goals. They'll be like, okay, well, I have 20 bucks left over. Let me put that extra on debt or something like that. You've got to treat your savings goals, your investment goals, your debt goals, like bills. Like, you've got to prioritize it just like you prioritize your water bill. And if you're good at paying your water bill every month, you're going to be much better at also paying yourself every month. Like, you've got to get that system in place. And the way you do that is through a budget, where it's like you have an extra line item for extra payments on debt, and you know exactly which paycheck you're going to do that with. And that's the first thing that happens when you get paid. So then you live off of what's left over, not the opposite. That's a huge one. Honestly, I think people who can just do that, even if you don't have a budget and you figure out, like, you know what, I know every paycheck I can do an extra $200 on my debt or an extra $200 into my emergency fund, and you automate that. People who do that, like, even without a budget, like, they see a ton of success because it's automated, and you get into the mindset of, like, this is just as important as me paying my student loans. This is just as important as me, you know, paying for Spotify or whatever it is. I'm trying to think what other systems. I mean, other systems is, like, again, it's like investing, making sure that you're investing for retirement and things like that, even in the early ages.
Yeah, can we talk about that? Because I'm like,
yes. What questions do you have?
I want to know where you suggest. So I'm 28. I just barely got started in investing. I work with, like, a financial advisor. I like, you know, I was like, I'm going to have an expert handle this because it really stresses me out. Mm-hmm. But I know something that really stressed me out was how, quote unquote, long I waited. Like, I kept having people be like, start now, start now, start now. And
you're 28. You're
thank
good.
You.
You're
yeah.
fine.
Thank
I didn't
you.
Start until I was like 27. And even then I didn't really start until I think I was almost 29. So, like, the fact that you're even getting started in your 20s is amazing. A lot of people don't get started until their 30s, and even more people, like, it's like, I think like 30% of people don't get, you'd have to fact check me on this, but I can't remember the stats right off of my mind or off the top of my head, but I think it's like 30% of people don't get started till their 30s, and then another 30% don't get started till their 40s. So it's like, if you get started in your 20s, you're not in the majority of people. You're like in a minority of people.
Oh,
so like,
well, thank you.
first of all, good job. That's fantastic to get started now. But yeah, what questions do you have about it?
Yeah. So I think, like, one of the things that kept me very panicky was the, like, well, start when you're 20. Okay, well, like, start when you're 21. And so it was in my head.
Most people don't.
Exactly. It was in my head by age 28 of, like, oh my God, I should have been doing this for the last decade. I've lost so much time. And, like, no matter how old you are, if you haven't started, I feel like there's just this feeling of, like, well, I've fucked it up. Like, I should
100%.
Have gotten started. What advice do you have for, like, overcoming that mindset, first of all? Because I think that's, like, so needed. And then two, where do you start?
Yes. So whenever anyone's facing with the mindset of, like, oh, it's too late for me, I fucked it up, I should have started 10 years ago, you have no control over what you could have done 10 years ago. Like, unfortunately, yes, of course it would have been great if you had started back in your early 20s. First of all, most people don't. Most people hear the same things that you heard and didn't do it, because it's like, nobody teaches us the how, nobody teaches us how important it is. It also, it's like, in our early 20s, we can't conceptualize just how important it is, because most of us don't even understand how retirement works in our early 20s. I mean, heck, people in their 30s don't even understand how retirement works.
I have no conceptualization.
Right? So I think you have to give yourself grace. It's like, no one told you how to do this. It was not taught in school. It's not something that even people who are even close to retirement age sometimes don't even fully understand. So it's not like, unless you go out of your way to seek out the education, like, it's really not your fault that you didn't start earlier. Like, people could tell you over and over again that, you know, you've got to save for retirement, but until it becomes real to you and you understand the how on how to do that, you're probably not going to do it. So it's not your fault. Second is, today is always going to be better than tomorrow. So it's like, I have people who ask me in their 40s and their 50s if it's too late for them to start. And it's like, even if you're in your 40s, you still have 20 plus years before retirement. And, like, here's the thing. What's the alternative? Is the alternative you're just never going to do it? Like, that's what you have to ask yourself. Is, like, you could beat yourself up, but, like, at the end of the day, you're getting started as soon as you're able, which is, like, right now, because you can't change the past. You cannot do anything about that. But it's like, even people who I'm like, you know, if you're in your 50s, and you still have 15 plus years, so which if you're starting in your 50s, you might have to work a little bit longer. What I always say is like, even if you start in your 50s and let's say you can't make it to the like to the amount that you need to be able to fully retire, aren't you gonna feel a lot better if you had $200,000 invested by the time you're in your 60s or 70s? Aren't you gonna feel better if you have half a million rather than if you had nothing? You know? So it's like, no matter what, no matter when you're starting, having something is always going to be better than nothing. Because here's the thing too, is like so many people are like, well, I'll just keep working until forever. And it's like, ageism exists. Health problems exist. There's a potential that you may be forced to stop working. So doing what you can to prepare for your financial future now, even if you feel like it's not enough or you started too late, it's always going to be better than you never starting.
I love that mindset shift too. I think like, what's the alternative is like such a good
What is
question to
the alternative?
ask yourself. 'Cause
What
like,
are you gonna do? Put your head in the sand and just be like, well, I know I have to do this, but I didn't start earlier, so I'm not gonna do it.
yeah, like literally, what are you to do? There's no other alternative. So I think that's like a great question to ask yourself. 'Cause I think you could ask that question about a lot of things. Like,
Honestly,
yeah, like
I
a
mean,
lot of things you get stuck with.
even on days where I'm like having a bad business owner day where I'm like, is this worth it? Do I want to go back to corporate America? And I'm like, no, that's not the alternative. The
Yeah, no,
alternative,
literally.
there's literally the alternative is I have to figure it out, period, end of story. And it's like
No,
on the
I
bad
get
end
that.
because I'm unwilling to do what is technically the alternative, which would be going back to corporate America on those bad days where I even consider it. So that is, I do think it's huge, is like having that moment of like realness with yourself of like, okay, well, what else? What, like, I can berate myself over and over again, but like, what is the solution here? The solution is I can't do anything about the past. All I can do is prepare for a better future. And that's it.
Absolutely.
In terms of how to get started, so I am a huge, huge, huge advocate on education. Obviously, I'm a financial educator. I think that even if you have a financial advisor, even if you have somebody who's doing it for you, you have a brother who's telling you what to invest in, I still think it's incredibly important for you to educate yourself on the basics so that you can know that your financial advisor, your brother, your mom, whoever is helping you, is giving you the right advice, is giving you doing the right things with your money. Because here's the thing, even with not to freak you out, I don't want to freak you out, but
No, I get that.
just to keep it real with you, your financial advisor hopefully works under the fiduciary standard, which is where they have to do and they have to figure out what is the best possible thing to put you in based off of what you're telling them. Or they could be liable. Now, here's the thing. The reason I emphasize based off of what you're telling them, if you walk into your financial advisor's office and you say, I am freaked out, I'm really nervous about investing in the stock market, they're going to put you in a more conservative portfolio, even if you're 28 years old, because they're hearing she's afraid, she's scared of market volatility. We got to put her in something that's more stable. So you may have a lot more cash in your portfolio, a lot more bonds in your portfolio, a lot more fixed income investments, which with somebody who's 28 years old and isn't planning on retiring until their 60s, you have no business being in those kinds of things. Like, and if you do, it should be a very small percentage of your, because you're, it's small percentage of your portfolio because you're in your wealth building stages. You're in your wealth accumulation stages. You're not in your wealth maintenance stage. And that's what those tools really are for. So that's the kind of like the asterisk of like, they have to do what they think is in your best interest based off of what you're telling them. And if you don't have the education you need in order to have that conversation with your financial advisor or your CFP, well, then you may end up in something that's you've told them, like based off of what you've told them is right for you, but it's not actually right for you because you didn't have the education to communicate what you actually need. That's a huge issue. And the other issue is there's a lot of bad ones out there, unfortunately. There's a lot of financial advisors who are not doing it for the right reasons and who are doing it to make big commissions or who are doing it to, for their bottom line. And so you really need to be able to look at your portfolio and be like, are there any red flags here? Like, oh, are they remembering to reinvest my dividends? Are they putting a huge chunk of money in cash? Have they even invested my money? I've had horror stories of people whose financial advisors didn't even invest their money. So,
No, that's crazy.
but like you go in thinking like I'm doing the right thing. I'm hiring the expert. You have all this trust in somebody, but at the end of the day, it's your money. You got to make sure that your money is doing the right things for you. And you can't do that unless you have the education that you need. So now that I've scared everybody, how do we get over that? How do we like get to that point where we have some education? So first things first, don't let not having education hold you back. I love that you got started anyway, that you're like, you know what? I don't know anything about this, but I'm going to go ahead and hire somebody to do this for me, because it's like, that means you're still investing. Hopefully he or she has put you into investments. But now it's like, okay, I'm doing the thing. Now, how can I learn about this thing? So it's like, you've got started and you're still learning. So for other people out there who maybe are, you know, not don't have a financial advisor or don't know where to start, there's so many ways for you to start when you know literally nothing. That's the beauty of it. So like I said, in my journey, the first thing I did was increase my 401k contributions, because I didn't know the first thing about investing. I just knew my 401k was an investment of some sort. And I was like, you know what? While I'm learning and I know this is important and I need to be investing as much as possible right now, I'm just going to increase this. And then I'm going to go learn. And then I came back, and after I learned some more, I went through and I was like, ooh, I don't really love these investments, so let me go in and change these investments. And that only took like 3 or 4 months for me to like go from the point of like, let me increase these contributions, and then let me change these contributions because I had more information. So that's the first thing, is look at, do I have a workplace plan where I know it's being invested and I know that like something's happening? Great. Let's see if we can increase that, or at the very least, we're taking advantage of it. And again, it doesn't require any knowledge to do that. The other option, if you don't have a workplace plan, is you've got options with traditional IRAs or Roth IRAs. Most people are going to go with a Roth IRA because a Roth IRA is a tax-free growth tool. So essentially, you put money in that is post-tax. So you've already paid taxes on your income, right? And then you buy investments inside of that Roth IRA, and then that money grows tax-free. Now, I know I just said you buy investments, so people are probably like, well, what do I buy? You've got options, again, of things that require zero knowledge. So you've got target date funds, which is the first investment option that's like, again, requires zero knowledge. Target date funds, essentially what you do, which most of you, if you have a 401k or a 403b or a TSP, you probably already have a target date fund, because most of the workplace plans have target date funds in them. But it's really simple. All you do is you look at, I'm going to retire in 2060 or 2070 or whatever the date is. And you pick the target date fund that has that date on it. Boom, you're done. And it's like, okay, you're going to have a diversified portfolio that is going to automatically reallocate the closer you get to that target date. You don't have to do anything. And usually, especially if it has the word index in it, it's going to be a low fee investment option. So that's what we love. We love low fee. So that's one option. The other option is robo-advisors. So robo-advisors, I love a robo-advisor because they're not going to have the biases of a human. They're literally an algorithm. It's kind of like a souped up target date fund, where it's like the same kind of situation of a target date fund that has a diversified portfolio in it, but with a robo-advisor. So a robo-advisor is going to take information from you, like you'll do a survey or whatever, and they'll spit out like here's what we think you should be invested in. And almost all the robo-advisors that I have seen use index funds, which I am a huge fan of index funds. We don't have enough time to really get into index funds, but like the lazy method and how I teach investing is all about these index funds. And most robo-advisors are using them. And any good financial advisor is also using index funds. So robo-advisors like Betterment, M1 Finance, I think Wealthfront has a robo-advisor, Fidelity has a robo-advisor. There's a bunch of different robo-advisors out there. They're just going to be like, cool, thanks for giving us all this information. Here's a portfolio we recommend. Do you want to go ahead and do that? And you can say, yep, go ahead. I want to put $100 into this a week, and it'll do all of it for you automatically. And again, you didn't have to do anything. Most robo advisors are super low fee too. So we're talking about like a financial advisor is usually 1% or more, 1% to like 1.5%. I've seen it all the way up to like 8%, but those are like crazy and shouldn't even be allowed. But with robo advisors, you're looking at like 0.25% most of the time.
Okay.
So it's like a significant difference. And again, you're going to be invested. You're going to like, you're doing the hard work of making sure you're invested, but then that education piece can happen so that while you're investing, you're doing the thing, you're learning, and then you can go back in and optimize. So that's how to get started with like zero knowledge. But the education piece, like I said, should never stop. Like at some point you still got to educate yourself. And I will tell you, so I'm the founder of the Lazy Investors course. The Lazy Investors course takes people from like no knowledge to I'm an investor, and it takes them 7 hours. So it's not
amazing.
Yeah, I'm not talking about like hundreds of hours of education like I had to do myself. Like, if you find the right coach, you find the right teacher, you find the right education, it could take you as little as 7 hours. And it's like, how many of us has binge watched a series over a weekend that took significantly longer than 7 hours? You know what I
No,
mean?
truly.
Yeah. So it doesn't take as long as you think it's gonna take. And it's so important, what, like, that education piece. So does that kind of answer your question?
Oh, absolutely. If you could give like one thank you, that was all so amazing. And I think two, like, gives a lot of people a lot of things to look into, which I always appreciate. Like, I want people to be able to like
Yeah, you got
click pause.
options.
Yes, I've got options. I have things I can look into. If you had like one piece of advice for people as they like wrap up listening to this podcast episode or like a next step to take, what would that be?
Ooh, it's funny because I'm like, well, it depends on where they're at in their stage.
Yes.
So where, how would you describe your audience? Like, are they mostly business owners? Are
They're
they mo
mostly
like
self-employed. So, like,
mostly
truly,
self-employed?
my assumption is that like they're going more by like month to month. That's kind of the feedback that we've gotten is that like I handle my finances enough. Like, I handle them enough. I don't think about the future too much. And that's just kind of where we're at.
So I'm going to go from the investing perspective because I get it. I've been there. I'm a business owner as well, and I understand. Obviously, I'm a numbers person and I love this stuff. But also, I feel like I have to give the perspective, like, I'm also a creative. Like, if I had ever, like, if you had talked to me 5 years ago and heard, like, if I had heard this podcast where I said I'm a numbers person, I would have been like, who? I don't know
Who is
her.
she?
I don't know her. I studied English and Spanish. Like, I never thought I'd be this person, but like, that's how easy this stuff is. It's more like learning a language. It's not a numbers thing. It's a language. Okay. My advice is for the business owners out there, for your audience, don't forget that it doesn't have to be as complicated of like, I need to start a solo 401k or a SEP IRA or all these like business specific accounts. The basic is I need to start a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA. That's easy. That takes 10 minutes to do online. If you aren't doing that, that's step number one. Step number two is once you open that Roth IRA or traditional IRA, you're going to fund it and you're going to buy investments. So if you're like, shit, I don't know what investments to buy, do not forget that robo advisor. Do not forget that traditional or the robo advisor or target date funds. So if you want to go the robo advisor route where you're like, I like the idea of filling out a survey and something spitting back, like, here's what you invest in, it takes like 10 minutes. Like, it's so easy. You could get started in about 10 minutes. Then the robo advisors out there that I like are like Betterment, Wealthfront. I'm trying to think, M1 Finance. Betterment, I would say, is like the easiest, by far the easiest. LFS is another really good one, and it's women founded, women owned, made for women. So LFS is another one. So those are like the three I would look into. If you're like, you know what, I think I could figure out the target date fund thing. I like picking the idea of picking a target date, then that's fine. You can go to Fidelity or Vanguard, open an account, and then pick a target date fund. So that's what I would say. Like, that's your action item, and set up an automated investment where it's like, if you know for sure, if you're like, you know what, I could for sure part with $100 a month. I could make that happen. If I'm treating it like a bill, that's what I would be able to do. Cool. Let's automate that. So with the robo advisor, you don't have to do any extra steps. The robo advisor is going to ask you what you want to automate, like, in that process of signing up. And you can do that when you sign up. With if you go the Fidelity route or the Vanguard route, it gets a little bit more complicated and you do have to do a couple extra steps. But the beauty of YouTube, go to YouTube and put how to set up an automated investment in Fidelity. But again, if that sounds like too much for you, go the robo advisor route. Get set up in 10, 15 minutes. And this is not sponsored by a robo advisor. This is me saying, like, it is so much more important for you to get started than for you to worry about the details of like, oh, but what if I need to do the Fidelity and I need to set up the target date? And what if it's like 0.5% better than, you know, my robo advisor or things like that? Like, focus on just getting started and the rest will work itself out as long as you continue to educate yourself.
Amazing. Well, Chloe, this has been so helpful and so incredible. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge. And
Yes,
like,
hopefully it wasn't overwhelming. I know this stuff can get so overwhelming, and like, I'm at the stage where like I have so much knowledge that I try to bring it back down for folks. But we do have tons of free resources as well. I don't know if you want me to spiel off some of
yeah, that would
those.
be amazing. And we'll link them for you guys in the show notes. But I usually ask, like, yeah, where can everyone find you online?
Yeah, so I'm at Clo Bear Money Coach on Instagram. That's where we are the most active. Bear is just spelled BARE. And we've, like I said, we've got that free guide. Everything starts and ends with that free guide of moneyrightguide.com. It's 30 plus pages of free education. We've linked videos, we've linked templates to get you started. And we have videos on, like, here's a step by step on how to get started with investing if you know literally nothing about investing. So everything I've just said is in that free guide. And then we also have a free investing class every month. So that's at lazyinvestingclass.com. And that's pretty much it. So
Amazing.
hopefully that inspired some people to get started.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on, and also just being like such an like, thank you for sharing your story of being like, I was in debt. I was just getting started. Like, I think it's
Oh,
so much
yeah.
more helpful to hear stories like that than people that are like, oh, I, you know, like was doing well, and like, not that you weren't doing well, but like 70K in debt is
I wasn't,
significant.
guys. Here's the thing too. There's so many stories, and like I talk about this on my Instagram and my TikTok. Like, throughout that process from 2019 till now, I also lost 60 grand on a bad investment to an ex-boyfriend. So it's like I was not perfect at any point in this journey, and I still made these big strides. So it's like, even if you're like, there's no way I can do it, what if you just tried? What if you
Yeah.
just tried? Dumber people than you have figured it out before. And like, you have no idea the change you could make in just a few years. And it's like, it all starts with just getting started.
Truly. Oh, well, thank you so much. This has been so incredible. I'm so excited to listen back to this episode. I'm like, it's
Yay.
been so fun this month to like listen to everyone's episodes again and like be sitting there taking notes. So thank you so much. I'm like so excited to listen back on this. And
Yeah.
yeah, everyone go check out Chloe in the links below, and we will see you next time.
Thank you.